Hi.
Hi.
So we're doing something new.
Yep.
This episode. We have shared our love of camping and stories of our trailer with you for the last 57 episodes. And this week, we are actually going to talk to someone else about their experiences camping. We are joined today by Matt Berger, the author of The Handmade Teardrop Trailer, which is coming out November 15th from Springhouse Press.
And as the title says, Matt has built his own trailer. We're going to talk to Matt in two parts. This week, we're going to focus on his motivations. And next week, we'll talk about how he actually did it. Matt, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for talking with us, Matt. This is so exciting. Your book is incredible. We've always loved teardrops. We always stop to look at them in campgrounds because they just stand out with their beauty and their awesome design. And to build your own trailer, that's amazing. You've really got to love camping. When did you fall in love with camping and trailers?
Sure. Well, I would say they're just to your first point, teardrop trailers, they're all very unique. So you're right. Whenever you see one at a campsite or on the road, it's a great, very unique experience. So my I was introduced to them just more recently, even though I've been a camper since I was a kid. So like you guys, my family had a Airstream.
Yay!
We started out with a fiberglass trailer, but when I was a kid, my mom remarried into a family of trailer enthusiasts. So my stepdad had a 26-foot Wilderness trailer, and then we had a F-150 pickup that had a camper on top of it. So
wow.
Between the two, we could sleep like six beds comfortably. But our family actually combined was 8 kids.
Wow.
And 2 adults. So our camping trips often was sort of a mini caravan where the oldest brothers had their own camping setups. So as a young kid, I really, you know, experienced a lot of the fun of trailer camping. But then in sort of the middle of my life, I stopped. So it was a long period between those days and when I got the inspiration to build this trailer and then start camping with my own family.
So what made you rekindle that spark? You know, for us, we've camped throughout it all, but you did it a bunch as a kid and then, you know, you didn't restart for quite a while. You know, what was the thing that made you jump back in?
I think there's a couple things that came together. So the first is I have a family, 2 young daughters. They're not so young anymore, 10 and 13. And so when they were little, camping was difficult. Anybody with young kids knows.
Yeah, we know all about that.
Trying to, you know, stay clean and fed and all that becomes much more challenging when you're also caring for small kids. So, and then my wife, who has, you know, she enjoys the outdoors, but she's not a huge tent enthusiast. So when she sleeps on the ground, she gets grumpy.
Me too.
As my kids started to get older and be more interested in going out and, you know, on a camping trip, we realized that the tent situation was not satisfying everybody's needs. So we started to, you know, load up our minivan with mattresses or, you know, trying all these different things. So that was when we realized we needed a new solution for camping because everybody wanted to do it. Parallel to that, I have always been a builder of things. Part of my career, I actually worked for how-to magazines. And so now I do that as a hobby. So I wrote a book in 2014, which was my first how-to book called The Handmade Skateboard. We can talk about that a little later. But after I finished that one, my publisher wanted to continue working with me on that series. And so we were looking for another object that had been previously or originated as a handmade thing. So a skateboard in the 1950s was built in a garage by some kids. And then he came across this idea of a teardrop trailer, which if you trace it back to its roots, it's really just a couple creative people who pieced together some parts in their garage and created a camping accessory, you know, well before there were trailers like we know them, like the big ones that, you know, you guys drive around in.
I really enjoyed the part in the intro of your book where you talk about the history of the teardrop. I had no idea that it went back so far. But when I stopped to think about it, it makes a lot of sense to me. Like, people had trailer, like old trailer beds in their garages that they used to like haul hay or whatever. And they've just been around for a long time. And like sheep herders moving around caravan style.
It's the wagon.
Yeah, exactly. The wagon has been around forever. I hadn't really made that connection until I read it in the intro of your book, and that was really cool. They've always been a part of our culture, and I find that fascinating.
Yeah, and that is a super fun rabbit hole to go down, because if you think about like every object, not every object, but a lot of the objects that we live with in our daily lives did start out as just some tinkering project in a garage. And then over the years, it becomes popular and manufacturing processes evolve around it, and then factories, and then it grows into something that today you kind of can't relate to from a maker point of view, unless you break it down and try to do that. So that's really what I did in my book, is I sort of understand how did the first tinkerer come up with this idea and how did they solve some challenges? And then how can I take some modern day technology and tools and materials and sort of merge the two. And back to your original question, it was actually my publisher's idea to do this project. His idea was that I would actually use it as a traveling promotional trailer to promote my book and woodworking classes.
Oh, interesting.
Which someday I may still do. But once sort of that idea merged with my wife, who wouldn't ever sleep on the ground again, it really did become a perfect project and book and family accessory.
In the book, you talked about how this is a thing that like went from being always handmade to mass produced. And in the book, before you talk about making yours, you profile other folks that have made their own trailers. And I'm curious what you learned from them as you set out on this journey.
I think that is sort of one of my favorite approach to how to is to not be an expert, but have expertise in tools and techniques. And so if you take the non-expert approach, you realize that there are tons of people out in the world who have already taken on some of these design challenges or building challenges. And if you kind of, you know, just ask them questions or look at what they did, you can avoid a lot of mistakes that you would otherwise make if you just lived in a bubble. And I'd say it's a design principle that I've really evolved over my life, because if you go back 20 years, I never would show anybody any of my projects, or it was a very personal thing. But with the internet and with social media and Instagram, I think the equation has switched, where people love to build off of each other's ideas or learn from others. So that philosophy is something I focus on. I always start by, you know, asking people how they did it, sort of giving them accolades for solving these challenges before I did, and then not trying to present myself as the person who invented it or came up with the idea, but rather put my build into the context of this 100-year history of garage shop makers. So those folks, the people who actually in my book, there's five of them, I found them on Instagram, and they weren't necessarily the most complicated builds or the most, amazing, but they were really interesting people who built their trailer for a different reason. You know, one was a food vendor, one was a young family, one was a guy who ended up, you know, turning it into a small business. So it gives readers a much broader view of why they might want to do it beyond just my personal reason.
I also think it's a smart approach because you're learning from what they've already experienced. And then you also have a community to benefit from. You have people that are available and, you know, you can bounce ideas off of.
Yeah.
Is there a strong Teardrop community?
Yes, for sure. And I think you guys kind of illustrate the traveler community, right? That you go to a campsite and it's funny. Everybody has different political backgrounds or social backgrounds.
Yeah, definitely.
But everybody gets along. It's like one of the weird social experiments that works because you're all there to just enjoy your space and to take care of yourself, right? You have all the tools you need to take care of yourself. And so I think the same is true in the maker community. And again, I'm going to credit a lot of that to the internet because it gives you a place to find like-minded people who, you know, share your interests and share your, you know, want to learn. And I've been in this how-to journalism space for a while now. And one of the, there's kind of this life cycle that people who are editors or producers in that space talk about, which is someone is a curious information seeker, and then they become a, you know, a student of that, and then they become an expert, and then they become a teacher. And that is usually true for any sort of craft or hobby, where once you get to this expertise level, you really want to share your information with people. You don't want it to just be locked inside your own. I mean, that's generally true, not for everyone.
You're talking a lot about making, you know, and your first book was about making a skateboard. But with a trailer, it seems to me like there would be a moment where your brain kind of flips a switch from like, this is a project that I am working on, to, oh my God, this is a thing that I have to live in. Yeah, I'm curious if that switch happened and if it changed how you thought about the project.
Yeah. Well, it's maybe it was the moment when I realized, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to pull this at 65 miles an hour behind my car on the highway. I think that was more the wide-eyed moment. Because that, you know, this is the first time I've ever built anything that really impacted, like its engineering and construction quality had great impact beyond myself. So that was kind of scary. But then again, to your point about that community, is you realize like a lot of other people have tried it before. It's with different skill levels. You go onto YouTube and there's some great little video series on of people just like me. They, you know, they didn't have a publisher, so they went straight to YouTube. But it gives you a lot of comfort and confidence that a lot of other people have tried this. Even though you are building something that, you know, has the potential to cause a traffic accident. In all seriousness.
No, seriously, I appreciate how you talk about safety and really pay attention to it. When we're towing Evangeline, I'm on high alert. I don't want to kill anyone. It's an important part of it. You talk about it in the book. It doesn't just need to look good. It has to function. Some objects we make can just look pretty and that's it. But this, it's very important. You're in the car with your family. There are other cars on the road. It's such an important component.
Yeah. And it's a big investment too. You're spending some money and time. And so it's something you want to be able to use for, you know, 10, 20 years, maybe more. Yeah. So it's important to, I think that's kind of another design topic that I like, which is beauty or visual design is part of it. That's what people first react to. But then functional design and structural design really are what you're spending most of your time on in this project.
That's awesome. And I think that's a perfect point to conclude this part of the interview, because next time we're going to dig into how you actually made this thing. Matt, thank you so much for joining us on The Hitch this week.
Awesome. Thank you.
The Handmade Teardrop trailer will be out November 15th. That is this week, people.
Woo!
On Springhouse Press.
And Matt will be back with us next week when we talk more about building his trailer. In the meantime, do you have questions about getting on the road? Here's how to get in touch. We'll be back next week with more road-tested advice for your own adventures. Let us answer your questions by emailing Evangeline at thehitchpodcast.com or by DM on Instagram at tincanevangeline. Please subscribe to The Hitch on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a review while you're there. I'm Janice Dillard.
And I'm Dan Sinker.
And we'll see you on the road.